We're going to go to the book of Luke here today, and I want to just encourage you to do some reading over these next couple of weeks in the book of Luke. They say that the average reader, I guess most of us are average, the average reader can read the book of Luke in 2 hours or less. And if you're an average reader, then you can spend about 15 or 20 minutes a day, and you could this week go through the book of Luke. And I just want to encourage you to put a little effort into reading in the book of Luke, because we're going to be there for the next few services, and I think it would benefit us all to spend some time reading and studying from the book of Luke. I'm going to read the first 4 verses of Luke chapter 1, if you'll look there with me. Luke chapter 1. And this is really like the preface before he gets into the whole meat of the message of the book of Luke. There's some things we can learn and we can benefit from here, even in these first four verses. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. I think we're just a little hot here, brother. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Let me go back to verse 3 and read that again. Can I do that? It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We're grateful, Lord, for your word, Lord, that speaks to our lives. And we just ask, Lord, for your blessing and anointing to be upon this time in the word. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the reason why we want to spend some time in the book of Luke has been called the persuasive gospel. The persuasive gospel. And there are a lot of people, there's a lot of thinking today, a lot of people who are opposed to the scriptures, opposed to the things of God, and are resistant to even just a simple message of the gospel. And so the book of Luke is called the persuasive gospel because, for a lot of reasons that we'll talk about here in these next few minutes. But in this little short preface, Luke describes, he's given an explanation for why he's even going to all this trouble to write the book of Luke. 24 chapters. He's also the author of the book of Acts, 28 chapters. And if we've always talked about, well, the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. But if you remove the book of Hebrews, which some people don't even believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, it's up for debate. But if you remove the book of Hebrews from Paul's writings, Luke has more words, more sentences, more scriptural content than even the Apostle Paul, just through the book of Luke and the book of Acts. So we can see that this is a writer and an apostle who has tremendous impact upon us. New Testament impact upon our lives. So we need to take some time. It's the longest of the Gospels. Half of the words of the book of Luke are the actual words of Jesus himself. Pay attention to the book of Luke. There's some things that we need to know, we need to learn in this wonderful book. We know that Matthew was written to the Jews, Mark to the Romans, John to the Greeks, but the book of Luke was to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are everybody else that's not a Jew, including you and me. Amen. A message. Not that the other gospels are not to all of us. They are, but this was a specific message written to the non-Jew. All of those Gentiles that needed to hear this message that he's writing. And so we have these four gospels, but there were others who wrote or at least intended. Remember Jude, when he started out, he said, I had full intention to write of our common salvation. He was going to write another gospel account. I was going to write about the gospel of Jesus Christ too, but I was compelled. It was more needful for me to write. And you know the message of the book of Jude. But there was the importance of this message, this gospel message being declared. And it was inspired of God, and it was seen through the eyes of these different individuals, and they spoke specifically to various groups of people. And you and I benefit here today because of Luke's writings and his determination. That's what he's talking about there in verse number 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. But a lot of people. You see, today things can happen most anywhere in the public, and there's all kinds of surveillance cameras and recordings going on, and there's hardly anything that can go on in our world today but what it is not recorded, and it is not even videoed in many, many instances. Most crimes that take place, I mean, they're caught that quickly because of all the surveillance, and it might be a camera down the street, but somehow they're able to get the video surveillance and identify who that wasn't the way it was in these days. It was required that everything be written and everything be by scribes written. And of course, we know that all the writers of the scripture and these gospel writers, they wrote as they were inspired. And so the record that we have of the message of the gospel, this persuasive gospel message, was written by Luke as he was inspired of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was inspired of the Spirit. But we know that God, whenever he would anoint someone or inspire someone, that he would also filter that through their human personality. And sometimes even through their natural abilities that they had. God would touch them and use them, even as Luke was known as a physician. As I understand it, and I don't know anything about Greek, but what I have read and studied about the writings of Luke was that all of his writings that were in Greek, that it was not the Greek that was a common Greek, but it was the Greek of a very intellectual, a very well-read, educated person. And he was very precise in everything that he did. That's the reason why that he outlines it here, and he says that this was delivered by, there were eyewitness accounts. There were those that I went to that were ministers of the word, dependable witnesses. And I collected this information. And when you get to reading and thinking about all that's in the book of Luke, it's just pretty incredible that he could come up. Even just going through Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, all the various accounts that he gives, the birth of John the Baptist, Zacharias and Elizabeth, Mary's song, and all the amazing accounts that are given in great detail. How did he do that? Well, he was inspired of the Holy Ghost to write it, certainly, but it was also God using him in his ability to be precise and to get into the details and to give vivid accuracy in everything that he was saying. Why was he so diligent to do that? Because it was the gospel. It was the gospel. We must not be careless with the only message of hope for the world. We can't be careless with a message that is the only way that a man can come to God and know God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And he's not going to get saved except there'll be a clear, precise message of the gospel preached. And if it's not declared, if it's not preached and given, then the world is going to be lost. And Luke felt the weight of that. He felt the importance of that in his writing. He said, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding." Now that wasn't him bragging. That wasn't him saying, "I've got perfect understanding of all these things." The word literally in the Greek is a word that means exact or precise. That has come about by a diligent effort. So when he says, "It was important to me that this message be proclaimed, and I had a perfect knowledge," or I put a lot of diligent effort and work into this to make sure that the gospel that was going to be presented was going to be something that couldn't be denied. Amen. Praise God. "I had perfect understanding of all these things from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." Who's he talking about? Theophilus. You'll see his name also there in the beginning of the book of Acts. Both of these letters that were written to this individual. They were written to him. Theophilus, his name means friend of God or lover of God. It's obvious that he was a convert of Luke's. Luke had influenced him and won Theophilus to the Lord. So he didn't just win him to the Lord and go off and leave him on his own. Even though he was Theophilus, he's called most excellent Theophilus. Even though he was likely someone who was probably in a position of authority, he might have been a Roman governor or someone who had a great position of authority, but somehow an open door had come and Luke had been able to present the truth of the gospel to him. It touched the heart of Theophilus. And so he spends this time writing this message. Of course, we know that it wasn't just to him, but it encourages me to know that God cares enough about one person to send this great message. The whole message of the book of Acts is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the whole message of the book of Luke is the message of Jesus Christ. And the book of Acts is the message of the church and the work of the Spirit of God through the church, the believers. And all of this message that went to Theophilus and, of course, everyone else that's a servant of God or a friend of God or a lover of God. Amen. All of us are recipients of this wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. And so even though Luke was one who was he was precise, he was educated, he was a physician, he had all these qualifications, and with all of that, he's one of the few writers of the scripture that doesn't even identify himself as the author. So you can see that there's such a work of God in Luke's life that even though he would be someone respected and esteemed, he wanted to make sure that he didn't get in the way of the message. He didn't want it to be just Luke's gospel. He wanted it to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he doesn't identify himself as the author. It seems like that Luke is just satisfied to be back in the background somewhere, just being a servant of God, being used of the Lord to declare this great message of the gospel. Well, we could learn a lot from that, couldn't we? All of us. Every preacher of the gospel and every servant of God, we could learn so much from his example, even though he had credibility and education and he could have listed himself, "I'm Luke the physician, the author of the book of Luke and the book of Acts," but he didn't. He was satisfied for, you know, just to be an unknown, but yet the writer, used of God, a servant of the Lord. Amen. You see, Luke, even though he was a physician, apparently, he had committed himself to serve Paul. And he was satisfied to be in the background, to serve him in whatever way that he could. He was thoroughly contented in doing that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the previous verse says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, went back to Thessalonica. But the very next verse, Paul said, only Luke is with me. Only Luke. He's with me. And so you can see that when times got hard and the pressure was on and a lot of people were turning their back on the message and upon the Apostle Paul, Paul said, Luke, he's with me. He stayed right in here with me and has been faithful to serve me and to help me. As a matter of fact, Paul didn't call him a physician. He called him Luke, the beloved physician. So he probably does, because, you know, Paul was always getting into scrapes and problems and being stoned and having all kinds of issues. And he had his personal physician with him who's always taking care of him and healing his wounds and ministering to him. And that's why Paul called him Luke, the beloved physician. Apparently, Luke had just endeared himself so much to Paul that Paul was saying, I can't do without this man of God. I have to have this servant who's with me all the time, all the way to the end. He's always there serving me and helping me in the ministry. Let me tell you, Luke is so important because he was committed to the clear presentation of the gospel. He didn't want to get in the way. He didn't want any of the details to be left out. He wanted to make sure that it was a clear and a precise message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's so important. Now, if it was important then, you know it's important today. When there is so much confusion, and we have a whole society, a whole culture that is opposing God and opposing the word of the Lord. Even in churches, people are confused about what they know and what they believe to be true. George Barna says that 53% of evangelical Christians don't believe in absolute truth. Now, if he's right, that's a very clear indicator of where we are and why we're facing many of the challenges in the church that we are. We know that this is the infallible word of God, that our whole lives have to be built upon and our Christian experience. This is the foundation of everything we are and everything that we believe. And if we deny it, if we even doubt it, then we're on shaky ground. This is God's word. It's the absolute truth. And I'm convinced that Luke, he went the extra mile. He did everything. He interviewed, no doubt, dozens, maybe hundreds of eyewitnesses. He talked to more and more people because he wanted a clear and a precise message of the gospel, because he knew that there would be those down through the centuries that would be doubting. He knew that there would be times when the church was going to have to defend the gospel. He knew there would be people who would have to stand and sometimes even give their life for this message. This was not something to be careless with. This was the message of the gospel. This is why that it's often called the persuasive gospel. Because it's the gospel that can convince men of their need of God. It's the message of Jesus Christ that's so clearly and so powerfully presented that people just have to back up and say, well, I can't say anything more about this. This is the truth. It's reality. It is the word of the Lord. And we're living in a time right now when people would rather attack God and attack the word of God. And I know the war on Christmas, it's like every year it comes up, and there's issues that are in the struggle in the public arena over just the little simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've always been convinced that the reason why it's resisted so much is because they recognize, and Satan knows, the power of just a simple little message of Jesus Christ and his incarnation and why he came and what this message means. It's powerful, it's persuasive, and it will change people's lives. And that's why they want to turn the lights out on the nativity. That's why they want to remove it from a public arena. They don't want anybody to know about Jesus. They don't want anyone to know about this wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's why we need to be diligent to know what we believe. That's right. Amen. Now, it's a sad thing that in our churches, and hopefully it's not the case here, that people know very little about the word of God. They have their few little precious promises and their few little verses that they can pick out, and they quote the same one every time they testify. But when it comes to the Word of God and to the study of God's Word and the understanding of the Word of the Lord, spending time in God's Word, spending time in the presence of the Lord, and being like those Bereans. Who would not take just one man's word for it, but instead they were more noble, the scripture says, because they studied the scripture. They got into the word of the Lord. They spent time in the word of the Lord. Those Bereans, they were convinced they needed to know the scripture. They need to know what the Bible says because it is the gospel. It can bring change to the lives of people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, it seemed good to me, having had a precise and exact understanding of these things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. Amen. I'm telling you, the world needs to know some things for sure. They need to know some things for sure, and they need to understand that this is not just a little children's Bible story. This is not just a story that we tell every year at Christmas time, but this is the most persuasive, powerful message that changes lives. It changes countries. It changes cultures. It has the power to turn people around, to transform their life. Amen. Glory to God. We need to know this gospel message. We need to know what we believe, and we need to be able to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to have a clear understanding of what the Bible says about salvation. It's an interesting thing when you get to reading about Luke. Luke mentions the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, more than any of the other writers of the gospels. He is continually referring to the Holy Ghost. If we're going to convince this generation, we can't ever expect that we can just come up against the philosophies of this world with our intellectual abilities. While we need to be studied and we need to spend time in the Word of the Lord, we need to know God's Word, but we need to also understand that when it comes, when we come face to face with this world, we need to be able to be anointed and empowered of the Holy Ghost to be able to speak to this generation. It's going to take something more than our natural ability. It's Luke that describes him. Jesus is going into the wilderness. He said he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And then a few verses down, when Jesus, after he faces the temptation in the wilderness, Luke says he came forth in the power of the Spirit. He was describing the ministry of Jesus. And even though he was the Son of God, he needed the power of the Spirit to be able to face the challenges of those times. And so Luke many times makes reference to the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:18, he quotes from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." The Spirit of the Lord. But we gotta have the presence of God, the anointing of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, we need to be well read. Yes, we need to be students of the Word of God. We need to know it. We need to read it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate upon the Word of the Lord. But we also need, this wonderful presence of God and anointing of God that empowers us and causes us to be able to propel the message of the gospel into this world. But without, His Spirit, we're not going to be able to accomplish. It was Luke 11:13, again, where he describes the work of the Spirit of God. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" Amen. You'll read, as you read through the book of Luke, you're going to see these repeated references to Luke saying, yeah, you need the word and you need to know a precise message of the gospel. But you can't do this unless you're anointed of the Holy Ghost. You can't face the challenges of this day. Hallelujah. Oh, how we need Holy Ghost boldness. Boldness. That doesn't mean obnoxious. That doesn't mean, that you go out there in the world and you treat people bad. It means that you go out and you have a message that's clear. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. And you recognize, Lord, if I'm going to convey this message by your Spirit, Lord, would you come and bless and anoint me that I might be able to present the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Holy boldness and an ability to proclaim the truth of the word of the Lord. John 16 and 17, describing the ministry of the Holy Ghost and how important it is in these days. I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. There is a definite place for the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our lives, in our churches, in our ministries, to be able to face the challenges of the day. And it's the Spirit of God that's going to bring conviction to the hearts of the lost and make them aware of their need for the gospel. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've talked to people about the Lord before, and I could tell I was not getting, it was going right over the top of their head. They could care less. It was having no impact at all. And I'm thankful for those times when you sense the presence of God. God blessing you and anointing you in the word of the Lord. It has an impact. It touches their heart. It goes beyond their intellectual ability to resist. And it touches their heart and affects them in such a way they can't deny it. Amen. It's like Agrippa who was almost persuaded. And he was one who was not at all interested in the gospel, was resistant to the gospel. But I'm telling you, it got really close to his heart. And he was shaken by the things that he heard. Amen. The book of Luke is a book of great details. Luke was careful to go into the details. And as you read through, I want you to notice some things. Notice that he gives the details about John the Baptist and his ministry and him coming, being born, miraculously born into this world. Now, it was a significant birth because there had been no prophetic word for 400 years. And now the ministry of a prophet is being revived. And he's the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And that's why the throngs of people, I mean, he didn't have, any of the natural charisma that would have drawn. I mean, he's out there dressed like a wild man in the wilderness. And why were the throngs of people coming to him? Well, he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. His ministry was of such power and anointing that everything that he said, that it was powerful, and not one of his words would fall to the ground. Everything that he said was that powerful. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, Luke gives the details of this prophetic ministry coming in. And he gives the most detail about the birth of Christ. When you read Luke 1 and 2, which we always do, maybe several times during the Christmas season, and a lot of times at our family gatherings, we'll read Luke chapter 2 and go through those familiar verses. And remember, all of that came to Luke as he was inspired of God, as he got firsthand accounts, as he got eyewitnesses, as he went to ministers that were credible, and the Spirit of God inspired him, and he was careful to go to all the details of every event there in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. So when you read it, remember that what he was doing, he was preserving the gospel because he wanted it to be without blemish. He wanted it to be exact and pure and proclaimed. That's why Luke's gospel is so persuasive. Amen. That's why it's so persuasive. This is a gospel that is for everyone. The gospel of Luke, it reminds us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone, whosoever will. Amen. The term sinner is mentioned 16 times more than in all the other gospels combined. He deals with the fact that people are lost, they're sinners, and they need to know the message of the gospel. It's the only of the gospels that even uses the word savior or salvation. Incredible. But Luke is precise, and it's clear where he's going with this message. This is not just stories. This is the message of the gospel, and he knows the power of it and the importance of it. And that's the reason why, that he deals with people in their sin, and he deals with people to let them know that Jesus is the Savior, and he's the only hope and the only way that men can be saved.
Right.
Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, when he is giving the account of the angels and them receiving this wonderful message. Luke chapter 2 verse 10, and the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Luke went to the detail to make sure that they understood. This is a message that's not just, you know, for this particular day or this particular group of people. This is a message this is good news for all people, whosoever will, and for the generations that are to come. This is the gospel for all of them. Luke 2 and 29. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. Let me read it here. According to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This is Zacharias, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of all the people. No, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. That's Simeon. Jesus has been brought into the temple to be offered to the priest there on the eighth day. And when he sees it, now you just think about this. Simeon was a priest. He was a Jew. He was in a Jewish temple. And when he prophesies that day, he says, this is a light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This is a message to everyone, whosoever will. Hallelujah. Then Luke 24 and verse 47. Again, the message, and these are just a few isolated verses that I pulled out of Luke. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And the beginning as he moves right on in then to the message of the book of Acts and the fulfillment of what he has just said, that you're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to wait there, you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is a message that's going to be preached and proclaimed to all nations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a gospel that can persuade men that they need to be saved. Amen. Can you think of a better reason for us to spend time this month of December looking into the book of Luke, studying it, asking the Lord, speak to us, Lord, through this gospel of salvation, this gospel of hope to a world that is lost and in need. I tell you, I have family and loved ones. You do too. We've got a long list on our prayer list of unsaved and backslidden people that need the Lord. And there's no way we can convince them ourselves, but God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. When you pray, just pray that every time they drive down the streets and they see the lights downtown, or they see the lights on the houses and businesses around the community, that they won't just think of, you know, it's Christmas and it's festivity, but they'll think of light. Light, light in the darkness, light in the darkness. May everything, even the most frivolous thing about the Christmas season, may it cause them to consider their lost condition, that they would recognize how far they are away from God, and that they'll see their need. Amen. As they're walking through Walmart and they're playing the music, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Not just a Christmas carol, but a song, a message that there is hope and there is joy. I just pray that the lost and the backsliders will not be able to get away from this message of the gospel during this season. Amen. But they'll be persuaded by the message of the gospel of Jesus and by the Christmas story. They can bring hope and change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This just take a moment and give thanks to the Lord for this wonderful gospel. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Lord, that you can speak to us, Lord, in these times, Lord, that it's so urgent, it's so important, Lord, that we can proclaim the truth of the gospel to a world that's in need. Oh, God, help us, Lord, as a church, Lord, to demonstrate truth, to live a life, Lord, that is a testimony of your mighty power to bring hope and change to all of us. Oh, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I believe that the thing that was the most on the mind and the heart of Luke was, and I'm putting this in just modern language, he was determined to get it right. He was determined to get this message of the gospel and the message of the early church. He was determined to get it right. And so he committed himself to that and to the work of the ministry. And it's been preserved down through the generations for you and me, miraculously preserved. Men have given their lives so we can hold in our hands the word of the Lord, this life-changing message of the gospel. Hallelujah.